If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
TMS is brought to you daily, by and large, by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Dylan Sainsbury, Doug Wielder, and Keg Tapper. Coming up on TMS, Eartha Kitt cosplay.
My identity was nearly lifted.
She trained the cats to usually do tricks.
Pandamanians.
Google doesn't do that shit for free.
Is her cough finally in beta?
Cilantro Murphy.
If you're under 7 foot, I ain't heard of you.
No mob activity here, wink.
Rest in peace, Ms. Marvel. Long live Ms. Marvel.
Crossing frozen rivers.
Guys, hold yourself. It'll be on fire tonight.
50% cats doing tricks, 50% cats not doing tricks.
Scammers, go eat a butt.
Marvel's multiverse malaise, with major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Here is a shocking heads up for parents about teen drug use. One Florida Sheriff's Department warns there's a new way for your kids to get high. And as Fox 30's Jack Miller reports, they're using raw sewage.
We've got a good imagination.
The Morning Stream. I wonder what kind of world we're opening the door on.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for, what is today? Monday, July 24th, 2023. If you're here in Utah, happy Pioneer Day.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, another
excuse. Enjoy those fireworks.
Yeah, part two, everybody. Ugh. So gnarly. In fact, they've been doing it for days, so I'm already annoyed. Half our neighbors are blowing stuff up last night at, like, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm just like, really? Guys, it's bad enough we have two firework days in July here in this state. Can you just hold yourselves until tonight? Can't you do that? Because tonight it's going to all be on fire again. I don't know why we're doing this. It's so stupid. Anyway. Whatever. I don't want to besmirch the historical significance of the pioneers entering the valley and deciding this is where we'll go. That's all cool, right? 1800s bullshit. It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
People died to get here. I get it. It was a different time. All kinds of crazy business, crossing frozen rivers and getting weird diseases and falling over dead next to a tree and then going, well, we got to keep moving. Like, this is a significant thing. I get it. But we don't need to be setting everything on fire with fireworks twice in the same month in the hottest summer we've had in years. Okay? All right.
Yes, exactly.
Brian Ibbett here, and Scott. Hi. Oh. It's nice to see you. Hi. Hello.
Brian Ibbett here, Scott. Yeah. Not there.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. If there are our new listeners, we don't want to confuse them.
I saw a lot of you
Brian
this weekend.
Ibbett here.
Yeah, here, not there.
Scott Johnson there.
We had a play date. That was fun.
Oh,
we
that's great.
Recorded two different film sack sessions. Mm-hmm. To a sandbag for this
three stupid, technically
yeah I guess three technically oh yeah you're right
yeah
mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
Tina took me out to a mystery date where I saw the Acro Cats.
Oh yeah, tell me more about this. So it's like cats that can do weird shit.
Cats that do cat things, but they do them on platforms. Basically, it's, you know, I shouldn't downplay this because this actually is really, really fun mystery date. But basically, it's a woman who has trained about 12 cats. She and her group have trained about 12 cats to usually do tricks. And because they're cats, the usually is in bold, probably capitalized and underlined as well.
Okay.
But it was this little theater called the Bug Theater here in Colorado, this little independent theater. It would be a perfect place for a same-sex marry show, not a concert, but like one of their production stage show things like they did for their wedding that we never got to see.
Oh, right. I'm looking at the stage. It's a very spacious sort of, you could do all kinds of crap on there, it looks like.
Yeah. Lots well, of room. In this case, they had a lot of carpeted platforms, really tall carpeted poles. What else? A skull, because one cat just loves to sit on a skull, on a rounded, glitter-covered skull.
How? There it is. They just showed it. How do they? Keep these. Some of this video looks like the cats don't want anything to do with any of this.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. The cats went back and forth between like, oh, I totally want to do this. Like, there were a couple of cats up there. You put a one of those desk bells in front of them. Those ding ding ding. Can I have some service, please? Ding 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 ding.
Yeah,
and the cat just sits there, ding 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 ding, actively waiting for a treat. And its little paws just go ding 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 ding, like freaking a like Tio Salamanca in Breaking Bad. Watching, realizing that Walter White is the guy who shot Tico or something.
Wow.
But,
is there a chicken involved? I see a chicken somehow.
There's
a
chicken named Cluck Norris. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
The chicken and the cats compete in a round of bowling. The entertainment value of this, for me, was really split 50-50. Mm. 50% enjoying watching these cats like jump through hoops and pull a little cord that pulls up an applause flag, and one cat is freaking playing the drums like it's basically two drumsticks on hinges above a set of drums, and he's batting down the tips of the drumsticks so that the lever, the seesaw action, goes.
I mean, did it work? Was it functional at all, or was it just like a bunch of
nonsense?
Totally
functional. Oh yeah, like okay. Another cat is putting his arms over a guitar and like plucking the strings, like playing with the strings and making it sound like it. That's 50% of the entertainment value. The other 50% is watching these cats say, "Nah, I really don't want to do a trick. I'm going to rub against your leg. I'm going to rub against this box over here.
Wow.
I'm going to run into the audience as fast as I can."
Wow. There's a guy in the background. I'm watching this lady. So she looks like an Eartha Kitt cosplay, first of all. I guess that's a thing, right?
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I did not see her. That's funny.
But she's doing her thing out here trying to train him. And then behind him, there's a guy with a cymbal and a chicken. And the Cluck Norris is just pecking at the cymbal.
Oh, I see the cosplay, because she's wearing like the Catwoman. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
This was filmed in Oregon, so different theater, but
yeah.
Interesting. That sounds. Yes. I mean, that sounds like a thing I would go to. Just
it actually was entertaining as hell, and really, really enjoyed it.
Well, so good.
Good on Tina for picking yet another winner of a mystery date that I would have no way of predicting, no way of guessing what was going to be.
How's her? Has her cough finally abated? She good there on that front?
Yeah, her cough is very minimal. Still coughing. She's taking stuff for it, but coughing is minimal. She's off the oxygen. I still have the tanks here. They still have not come and picked all this crap up.
Oh man.
Those
slackers.
They are. They're total slackers.
So. We both went separately, but both went to see Barbie.
We did.
I saw Barbie on Saturday because a brother-in-law had extra tickets and called me and said, "Hey, the people who are going with us don't want to go. Do you want these tickets?" I'm like, "Sure, we'll go with you guys." I always love seeing Richard and Audra. So we went out there and we dressed up because Kim had stuff ready for this, and that annoyed me. I was annoyed, but she had it ready. And then we took pictures in the stupid Barbie box, and then we went and watched the movie. And I think that's about the only way you make a Barbie movie. I don't know any other way to make it. Honestly, like you really are forced or faced with this reality of, I don't know, I got halfway through it and went, this literally is the only way this works. You can't do, this can't be, it could be animated, but then it would
it
just
be, but it's
kids.
not for this audience, not for an audience that you want. If they had to Brady Bunch movie it, basically, make it so that the Barbie world is this own little clueless micro world inside the bigger real world, and when you know, like just like the Bradys, when they stepped outside that their little Brady Bunch bubble, spoilers to that 1992 movie or whatever
that was,
when they step out of their bubble, it's, you know, it's a whole different world, and we won't spoil anything, obviously, but spoiling.
No, there's nothing to spoil. Someone will still think we're spoiling, but we're not. It's good, though. It's fun and heartfelt and weird. That my favorite part of it is how freaking weird it is. It's not that there are times where they'll do something that I am weirded out by, and then I'll go, wow, in the wrong hands, that's really stupid what they just did. But because it's handled in a certain way, it actually works somehow. And I didn't expect, I don't know what I expect. I went in with no expectations, to be honest. I kind of just knew that I like the principal players. I like Greta Gerwig. I like the idea of trying to make something like this. And that's all I had. And I came out delighted. I thought it was great. How'd you fare?
Agreed. Everything you said, and in full agreement. Helen Mirren's narration throughout the whole movie is fantastic. She's a star. Kate McKinnon playing, I think, a role that only Kate McKinnon could play.
No, that was like perfect casting. Absolutely perfect casting.
Freaking Dua Lipa in a film, for Pete's sake.
That was cool.
Really, really enjoyed it. The only, I talk about these movie theater experiences, and for any other movie, this would have irritated me. And for this one, it was like, okay, if you have to. But the group of women, three women sitting next to me, not Tina and Aunt Barb, but the other side of me, felt like this was, there were moments of karaoke in this movie where, when Matchbox 20 decides to sing, they're going to just sing along. And fortunately, that ended fairly quickly. But
It was a fun. Okay, I'll tell you one moment where the audience lost its mind was when. Well, I don't want to give this away, actually, but you and I talked about it, and our audience lost it. Thought it was the funniest. I did too.
Fantastic fourth wall break by the narration.
Yeah. And you will not see it coming, and it's, you kind of, here's why it's brilliant. The whole time that scene's playing out, I'm thinking what she's about to say. I just didn't realize she was going to say it. And it was like one of the most participatory, like I'm participating in this movie moments I've had in quite some time. But congratulations, because between it and Oppenheimer, it was the biggest weekend in film, blockbuster film, money-making, whatever, since Endgame.
Yeah.
And this
crazy
year,
right?
Yeah, this year Barbie's the highest weekend of any movie, and them together, and I think, what was it, 300-something million for them, 178 million for Oppenheimer, really high for like a historical drama. It's just, it's obviously more than that because Christopher Nolan and everybody knows him, but it's big. That's a big deal. Big deal for the business, although, I don't know, writers and actors and people might be like, well, we're not going to see much. Maybe they can use it to their advantage, right? For the strikes and say, well, you think that's great. Wait till you hear how little of the money trickles down to, Dua Lipa's 30 seconds in the movie or
exactly.
It's good though.
We'll see. Okay. I'm going to wave that we're done with spoilers, but then I'm going to do something when I think they're about back in.
Nice.
And so there, at the end of the movie, Oppenheimer actually builds the bomb.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's great.
I was not expecting that to happen.
Yeah. And he didn't blow it up, but he made it. He built it.
But he made it.
Needed other people is a really hell of a thing.
I figure we can spoil Oppenheimer all we want, right? That's a Wikipedia page.
unless they go sideways on the writing and decide to do it at different.
Exactly. Unless they go Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and make it so that Sharon Tate doesn't get killed.
I do kind of want to watch Blade Runner 2049 just to remind myself what Ryan Gosling is, because he so stole every scene he was in that I kind of need a... I need a chaser of Ryan Gosling in a series. I need to watch Driver or something. I don't know what.
There's nothing at all wrong with watching 2049 again. And friggin' Michael Cera was great. By the way, at Alamo Drafthouse, this is, again, one of the reasons I love Alamo Drafthouse, is the 30 minutes before the movie, they show music videos, clips of video games, commercials for... Barbie, in this case, commercials for Barbie. They showed a little clip of the Indigo Girls Closer to Fine were like, well, that seemed accidental. Mm-hmm. Then they showed like a commercial for this Barbie pooping dog toy, apparently you could buy in the 80s.
That was a real thing.
It was a real thing. And another Barbie where you lifted her arms and her boobs got bigger that got very quickly discontinued. Mm-hmm. And
Midge, everyone remembers Midge. That was a real thing.
So it was just love the Alamo Drafthouse for these things. And that's all I'm going to say about any of that stuff.
Well, it's worth seeing. So check it out. It was a good time. Don't let the culture war stop you. It's great. It's great. Yeah. Great little fun, little funny thing that shouldn't have worked at all. Shouldn't work at all. Again, wrong hands. This is a piece of shit, this movie.
Totally.
But I don't know. These guys who made it, they knew what they were doing. All right, what else? Oh, we haven't done this in a couple of weeks because I just sort of took a break from it, but we got this.
Stand back and check your personal belongings. It's time for the Morning Forum.
Time for the Morning Forum. That's right, a chance for you to win some prizes. And it's themed a little bit around these movies. I thought that'd be fun. So
very fun.
We got who would you rather have lunch with? Cillian Murphy or Cillian Murphy, however you want to say it. I don't know which one it is.
Well, he says it, Cillian, so I think we all should say it, Cillian.
If he says Cillian, then let's get those guns, Tommy. Mm-hmm. And Margot Robbie, those are your two choices. You're going to go with Cillian Murphy or you're going to eat lunch with Margot Robbie. Which do you choose? It doesn't really matter. There's no correct answer. The point is to get you over there and sign up for it. So go to frogpants.com/themorningforum. All right. Yeah. And fill it out. And you could win some prizes next week.
In either case, I'm going to be just swimming in unable to speak because I'm stuck looking at a pair of beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah,
doesn't matter which choice I make in this Occam's razor. It's going to be, I'm going to be dumbstruck and not speaking the entire time.
They're both beautiful people. Did you hear that Cillian Murphy's they're working on a 28 years later movie?
Oh, Get Out. Really?
Yeah. Then my dream may come true after all. And also, what's his name's back in, Danny Boyle wants to make it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Fantastic. Then it's a done deal. Make that happen. Where do I send my money?
I'm so
how do I
in.
Kickstarter this?
Yeah, how do we get involved? I guess we just go
some Indiegogo. Come on.
Very excited.
Oh, your morning form is still the food choice, by the way.
Oh, it is? Oh, shit. Yeah. You know what? Let's, for the chat, since you're all here live.
So in other, right, which you'd rather eat, Cillian Murphy or Margot Robbie?
if chat room, if you click that link I just put into the chat, that will be the correct one, and then I'll fix it before anyone has a chance to hear it at home. All right? That'll be the deal there.
Yes.
But yeah, go to frogpants.com/themorningforum. Listeners. Viewers go to the other thing. All right? All right.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with my phrasing. I don't know what you're talking about.
What was your phrasing? Which one? I missed it. Did you say a thing that I missed?
Oh, I said whether you want to eat Cillian Murphy or Margot Robbie.
Well, hey, that's on them. They want a double entendre that. They can do that.
God. I can't believe you guys would read into me saying that. Oh,
yeah,
you guys
are
horrible.
What a shock. All right. What else? I made an offhand comment that I may not ever do again.
Okay.
I've told you about this place, this Mexican place we like called La Fountain, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right, La Fountain.
Yeah, and we like it.
That's Spanish for the fountain.
The Spanish for the fountain, exactly. El Nino, the Nino. So we like it there. They have these smothered burritos that are really addicting, and we like going there. It's good. And the price is good, and the people are nice, and it's just a nice, clean place, and it's newer, and I don't know, just something about it, we crave it, and so we go there.
Yep.
And I may have mentioned this before, but somebody at one point said they think that this series of restaurants that all seem to be sort of family-owned, slightly different names, very similar menus, that they might all be just fronts for the cartel, like there's some kind of money laundering.
Okay.
This is how you push money through as you make a restaurant, you know, kind of like if you have an Italian restaurant and you're a mob boss in an Italian mob, same thing. You use the restaurant as a front, right?
Yeah.
So, no big deal. I'm just something that has come up before. So I'm sitting, we're at the restaurant, and I make this offhand comment while our waitress is walking by where I said, I wonder, and this is before I see her, I go, I wonder if the cartel's still using this place as a front. I just mumble that.
Yeah.
And Kim's looking at me like, whatever. But the waitress looks at me, smiles, and raises an eyebrow and keeps walking. Now, I don't know if I'm supposed to take that as a tacit admission that it is a front for the cartel and its dirty work.
Yeah.
Or if she just was making a face. I don't know.
She, you know what? I think it was just making a face because if it was a tacit admission, she would have given you one of these.
Big old
she would have given you the old Catherine Hahn, like Agatha all along.
Oh, is that that's the greatest wink in all of Hollywood, isn't it?
It is the greatest wink. There are no, there's no better cackle and no better wink. Sorry, Catherine Hahn takes both.
Yeah, I don't know how you wink better than that, but anyway, I brought it up and then I quickly said, maybe I'll never bring that up again. Because even on the off chance that I'm correct, I don't want them to know that I know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. You don't even want them to think you suspect it.
I don't
want
to have some midnight visit from some guy in a really nice black suit who's like, we need to sit down and talk for a minute. I don't want this visit. I don't want this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably bad that I started watching
it's
Brian's recommendal. Because
How about Hope Davis, man?
Wow. Yeah, there's some mob business in that thing that is a little freaky.
Bob town business.
So far, I'm only two and a half episodes in, but Your Honor is great. It's really good.
It's hard for me to put this above Breaking Bad for Bryan Cranston because he was just so amazing as Walter White. I don't think I can ever say anything that he does tops it, but this really comes close.
It's really good, and he is really tapping into what makes that guy a great actor, and everyone else around him is great. The tone is exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to be a fun, dark piece of business to run through. I'm excited
about
it.
For sure.
All right, Brian, you got a little something, too.
Yeah. I did. I did some lifting on... I did some Ubering on Friday for Lyft.
Oh, you Ubered for Lyft. Okay.
I Ubered for Lyft. I've decided that because too many people, and I still get it. Like, I'll still say... we've got to go home after the movie because I've got to do a little lifting. And my Aunt Barb still's like, for a second there, I thought you meant you were going to be doing weights.
Weight
you
lifting.
Just don't like it.
I mean, of course, that's a fun joke to bring up again.
It's a very fun joke. Sure. So I'm going to say I Uber for Lyft. And I'm doing all my drives. I end up in this part of town that I hate being in because... A, it's really far. It's like as far in the little radius that I draw that I'm willing to drive in.
Yeah.
Like I'll actually set a radius in the app and say, only give me rides in this area. And this is at the far end of it, which means that I'm only going to get half the potential rides that I would normally get because anything going east of that circle outside of that dot where I'm going to end up is... it's not going to give me those rides. It's only going to give me rides going west.
Hmm.
So I end up in Commerce City, Colorado, and drop off somebody. I immediately get another ride for somebody named Tanner. No relation.
No good.
And I start making my way towards the pickup location. And I'm about a mile from it. And I get a call from the usual Lyft passenger phone number thing. There's like a phone number that comes from Lyft that is if the passenger calls then it comes through this thing
forwards to
and
but
I answer
right?
What's yeah. that
it's like a forwarding kind of
it's
deal.
A forwarding thing so that they don't get my phone number, I don't get their phone number, etc. But I answer it and it's like, hi Brian, this is Joe from Lyft. This call is recorded for quality assurance. Can you pull over, can you get somewhere safe? I'm like, sure, I'm pull over into this area where I'm going to be picking up the passenger.
So there's a Lyft guy telling someone at Lyft,
Lyft
corporate
guy,
is telling you this.
There's a Lyft corporate, and I'm like, what's up? He's like, well, I can't tell you which passenger, but you had a passenger on one of your recent rides that complained about a smell of alcohol in your car.
What?
I'm like, smell of alcohol? Come on, it's like 9 a.m. I'm certainly not drinking, but whatever.
This sounds like horseshit.
He says, let's get your confirmation here. I show you're on your way to pick up somebody named Tanner. Can you go ahead and cancel that ride? We'll send another driver to go pick them up. I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake, fine.
Yeah.
So I cancel the ride. He says, all right, go ahead and close the app. We need to do a confirmation. We're just going to do a couple quick things, get you back on the road as quickly as possible. I'm like, fine. He says, can I get your phone number? I'm like, well, you just called me on it, but fine. I give it to him. Yeah. And he says, all right, I'm going to be sending you a link. I need you to go there and it's just going to be a form you're going to have to fill out. So I give them a phone number. And then I look at the link before I even open it, and I see that it says, please upload a screenshot of your driver's license front and back.
Okay.
I'm like, well, why do they need that? And then I look at the link, and it, at first glance, it looks like a Lyft address, but then I realize it's like, no, it says dynamicallylit.co or mysticallylit.co, not anything Lyft. It's like, wait a minute, that's not L-Y-F-T, that's L-I-T. What the hell?
Mm.
So sure enough, it's like, that's where my little bells go off. And I say, can you tell me my last name? And he's like, I can, Brian, just, we need you to fill out this form. I'm like,
oh shit.
Yeah. So really you said, like, this is just the passenger. You're calling, you're making it sound like you're Lyft so that you can get me to upload my driver's license information. Can I get you to hold on just 1 second? I put him on hold so that I can find the Lyft customer service number.
Oh my gosh. So this is whoever's calling himself Tanner then, because that's how he can use that. This is whoever's calling himself
Tanner. And the number, the text number that the message came from was like a 305 number. So he's not even in the U.S. He's basically just spoofing the app to like have rides pick up so that when the driver comes to pick up the rider, he can interrupt the ride, call and say, I need you to, there was a threat of alcohol in your car, blah, blah, blah. Need you to deactivate. So if I, so by deactivating the app,
yeah.
I mean, basically I just closed the app is all I did.
Yeah.
I logged out. If I would have given him my driver's license number, he could have logged in as me,
yep.
Not just transferred. I guess my banking details are hidden in there. He would have been able to transfer any money I'd made that week, which at that point, Friday morning, was $34.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. But still, he would have had access to an account where whatever he wanted to do in there, including like
right.
close any out future, the account or future stuff.
Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. Or accept rides on my dude. Behalf and get my rating down, etc.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it was so he hung up while I was searching for the Lyft customer service number, but fortunately, like, I was able to send them screenshots. I send the text. I decided to, you know, look at that website myself. If you don't click on anything, people, but it's, you know, it's mysticallylit.com. So when the Who is information, I found out it was GoDaddy, so I reported that to the GoDaddy abuse.
Good.
Abuse thing. I've been working with them on getting them other details. So GoDaddy's on the case now.
Wow.
And yeah. So next time, here's my thinking. If this happens another time, part of me kind of wants it to.
Yeah.
But if it happens another time, I want to recognize it as, you know, they're all, Brian, we received a report of alcohol in your car. Oh no, really? Shoot. Then I'll say, oh no, I just accidentally hit that. I've arrived at the destination. So that means you have 5 minutes to show up to my car or else you're going to get dinged with a $5 no-show charge. Oh no. What if I say I've picked you up and I drive to the destination? That means you're going to have to pay for the ride that I gave you that you weren't even the car to use. And what are you going to do? Report it to Lyft?
Also, be ready to record all this, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why I've got the in-car cam.
Oh, right. So you probably have footage of this. You probably have this.
I have the, well, I mean, all I have is just my side of the conversation. It doesn't record the, oh no, I guess it records both sides of the phone call because I was on speakerphone.
Yeah, you would have heard it on speaker. That's wild. Yeah. Wild. I'd be equally annoyed and also proud that you sussed it out because a lot of people, I could see people getting suckered for this.
Easily. Like if you look at that site and again, maybe only do it because I had a VPN on my, And whatever you do, don't click on anything. But I have a VPN, so I ran the VPN and then did. I don't think incognito mode makes any difference because it's not like that, just keeps it out of your history and stuff like that. But
yeah,
but it looks like a Lyft. It looks like the Lyft app, and it's got this little slider bar that wants you to take it across. It's it's realistic looking, and I could easily see more people falling for this than not, just because I got suckered in. I should not have even given my phone number. I should have immediately said, you've got my phone number. You just called me. You don't need me to give you my phone number. That's what, you know,
yeah,
that's what, I, that should have been the first tip-off, really.
Dang. Well, Rainbow Bright reminds me that I got taken once, sort of correct. It was some game codes where I... We were supposed to get game codes from Blizzard for something. Yeah. And somebody who said they were from Blizzard and they had a Blizzard address. I mean, it was really good. Mm-hmm. They ended up getting those codes from me because they needed to see. They're like, we need to see which code you have so we make sure we don't. So it's just a scam to get codes, not money or anything. And it worked. They got the codes. And then when I went to give the codes away, none of the codes worked. And Blizzard's like, yeah, there's a rash of these going around. Here's how they're spoofing it. Here's some fresh codes. It all got worked out. But it was, I hate feeling that feeling of like, almost getting taken, or even, you know, like even though it was just dumb codes.
Yeah, like Tina's parents when they got fooled into believing that Tristan was stuck in Utah without any money to get home, because they figured out by looking at his Facebook page that he occasionally goes to Nerdtacular out in Utah, and Tina's folks believed it with a phone call. And
that's right, that was a bad one. I forgot about that.
That was a bad one.
Yeah. My mom's done it. My Kim almost got taken by one of these FBI need to see your tax info things. Ugh. This was early in those, and I heard her on the phone, and she was going, I don't understand why they're doing it. And I went, wait a minute, what are they asking for? And she puts her hand over. She goes, this. I go, you're going to want to hang up on those chodes.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, oh, shit, and hung it up. But yeah, that kind of stuff is gnarly. I hate it. Scammers, you can all eat a butt. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Get a real job. Go out. Get a real job, please.
Get a real job.
Exactly. All right.
That was a fun story. Let's move on now to...
Oh, good, Amanda Catherine. Well, I hope now you, she says she drives for Lyft. So now you know, if you get a call, that sounds, no matter how official it sounds, if they even ask for your phone number, don't give it to them.
Because they would have it. They have your phone
number. They would have it. They have my, like when they set up the ride, they've got my license plate number. They know what my car looks like. They've got my first name. Mm-hmm. And
Do you have an accent or anything? Or they just sound like a dude?
What's that?
Did the guy sound like you have an accent or no?
No, just sound like regular American dude.
American dude. Yeah. Okay. That's sometimes the giveaway too, is it's like, hello, we are with FBI. And, you know, they do that. Then you're like, uh-huh, sure, you're with the FBI. Mm-hmm.
But if
they sound like me and you, that sucks. I'm used to that. All right. Let's play a little game, folks.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Morning Half Asses. It's a Monday edition of a little quiz show we do to try to give away prizes to our listeners. And joining us to help us do that is Mr. Brian Dunaway. Hello.
Wise guy.
Uh-oh.
You can't hear me?
Oh, I can now. You cut out for a sec, but you're back.
Pieces.
Yeah.
That's weird. You're good. You can't hear me now?
Yeah, you're good now. Sound great now.
How about now?
Pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah,
still sound good. Do it the whole time.
Hi. Yeah, do it the entire time and never not do it. Just kidding. Don't do that. But it's good to have you here. How are you? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic. I got a little stuff done around my office.
Yeah.
Got some retro equipment where it needed to be and got to play around a little bit. Watched way too many movies. Well, when I say watched, I turned them on in my room while I was cleaning up.
Yeah.
Right. I was watching like Hellboy from, was it 2019? What year 18, was that? Anyway, 19,
like, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A whole bunch of just really rad kind of movies that I just never really can, you know, just really sat down and watch. Like Horns, that Daniel Radcliffe thing. Yeah.
How is that?
Oh, yeah.
How is that?
I thought it was pretty good. It was unique. It was unique. Also, not brand new movies, but still.
So that's all right. Yeah. I love background stuff like that. And it's always best to just put on things you're not really going to care about. But once in a while, you'll find like, I don't know, a little gem in there.
I do. And you know it because you sit down. And I was like, I stopped doing what I was doing. And I watched a little bit of Horns. It was pretty good.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah. Look at Harry Potter doing Horns.
Harry Potter.
doing Horns work.
Speaking of Horns work, Brian, explain how this works, who wins what, and how we do it.
Okay, it's time to play Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers fit the category. Three of them do not. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if any of those guesses are wrong, they get 0 points for that round. If they guess one and get it right, they get a point. Two gets them 3 points, and three gets them 5 points total. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And here are two contestants that can't be here live that are here virtually via the results of a spreadsheet. Scott, you're going to be playing for Sarah in Melbourne, Australia.
Nice.
Sarah.
Brian, you're going to be playing for John Brown in Illinois.
John Brown.
I feel pretty safe. I feel pretty safe in saying John Brown in Illinois. There's one John Brown there that listens to the show that knows exactly that it's him, and we can't dox him, basically.
Nope. There's 4,000 of you that are wondering
dox
if it's you.
Proof. Yeah.
That's great.
All right. And we'll talk about the prizes after the game. Let's get right into the game. Here is your first category and your six first answers. I know you guys know your South American beaches really well, but let's see how well you know your South American beaches.
Whoa.
Which three of these six are beaches in Rio de Janeiro? Lern, Madeiro, Sanibel, Ipanema, Vermelha, and Conceição.
I wish I knew the girl from Ipanema. She could tell me.
Don't we all wish we knew the girl from Ipanema? Brian, what are you doing?
Messing with you because you always call me out.
I'm the only one who can see what you're doing.
I know. That's exactly what I'm doing. Effing with you.
I'm locking in with two because I don't have any idea.
Boom! Shakalaka.
Okay. All right.
How come neither of you selected Ipanema? The girl from Ipanema, it's a beach. She's walking on the beach and she's, you know,
I don't know if that's a Rio de Janeiro thing.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know.
From Brazil. Walking in the thing. Let's see. Did either of you get points? No, the three. It's kind of a throwaway question, right? There's no hope any of you.
There was no way.
Lern, Ipanema, and Vermelha.
I chose one, but you both chose
Madeiro.
Yeah. Poop.
Does it say where those other ones are? No, it does not.
Okay. Pants.
All right, let's get to a question that you guys can actually do something with you have a chance.
First of all, you know we don't go to the beach.
Never. Never.
No.
Look how white I am. Are you kidding? I'm so white.
Scott's so white. Hashtag. Yeah,
that's right.
Question number two. NBA stars taller than 7 feet, 0 inches.
Taller than
which
7 foot.
These, Jesus.
I think I know
this. Three of these six are taller or as tall, 7 feet, 0 inches. Tim Duncan, Bill Russell, Moses Malone, Karen Abdul-Jabbar. Should be Kareem. Thank you, autocorrect.
They're all tall. Can I choose they're all tall?
Karen.
Taller than me.
I love Karen.
Can I speak to your point guard?
Yeah, please.
Can you please get your point guard for me?
That was not a foul. Can I please speak to the manager of the team?
Yeah. Autocorrect, but I'll blame myself for lack of proofreading.
Okay, good.
Shaquille O'Neal and Yao Ming. Mm. And you guys both. Oh, I don't know if Brian isn't locked in yet. But
oh, sorry. Locked in.
You guys both locked in. If you said Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, and Yao Ming.
Which we both did, right?
You both did. Bah. You're correct. And you both got 5 points for that.
I know my tall people.
You totally do.
Yeah. I was the worry I had, Brian, is you rarely have all three in the same column.
I know.
And visually I was like, oh shit, is Tim Duncan taller than I thought?
It really is a random thing. So when it comes up like that, it just looks like
I thought you were trying to make that column tall.
Okay. Nice. That's a 21 foot plus column. Tim Duncan, by the way, is 6'11". Bill Russell is 6'9", and Moses Malone 6'10".
Yep.
And of the other three, Yao Ming, the tallest at 7 foot.
This is how it
inches.
Works.
Yeah.
The three on the right, I've heard of. If you're under 7 foot, I ain't heard of you.
Yeah, well, and Yao Ming is strikingly tall when you see him.
Yeah.
You see him next to anyone, including other tall people, and you're like, he's taller than everyone here in the world.
Yeah.
He is a giant, 7.5 feet tall. All right. Yeah. Well, then it really comes down to our third question. Yeah. It's time for a little bit of science. Let's see how you guys do with this one.
I hope it's some weird science.
This is weird science. Three of these things were originally made from tree bark. Which three of these things were originally made from tree bark? Is it aspirin, cinnamon, quinine, cloves, cumin, or ibuprofen? Three of those things originally made from tree bark.
Oh my gosh, this is tricky. So one of them I think I know.
Shit.
I've at least heard of that, but maybe it was a wives' tale.
Okay.
I don't know either.
I'm going for it.
Oh, he locked in. He's locked in. Okay.
Now's your chance to Google really fast and then put it in.
Who's got time to freaking Google? I'm still trying to read the words. Like, I don't know how to spell quinine. I don't even know what the hell that is. I'm like, do I even know what that is?
It's a
malaria treatment. Quinine.
Oh, malaria treatment. That's right. I thought it was a poison for a minute because it's
also the flavor in tonic. When you get a gin and tonic, the flavor is
anyway.
Tonic.
Quinine. Okay.
But you know what? In large doses, quinine will kill you. So
yeah, and he was a big.
That's
he was
why I stop at no more than 12 gin and tonics a day.
He was an important Jedi and helped train Anakin.
That's right.
Quinine gin.
Yeah. It's my favorite mix. My favorite drink.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are both locked in. You both said cumin, and I'm sorry. There's no cumin. In
shit.
This is one of those rare ones where all of them were on the left side. It just is the way it worked. Aspirin, cinnamon, and quinine all originally came from tree bark.
Now where's cinnamon come from now?
Cinnamon is all I knew for sure. And isn't it still? It's still a form of tree bark,
isn't it? It might still be from tree bark. So that means we've got to go to a tiebreaker question.
Damn it.
Tiebreaker.
And I really can't give either of you, like, let's see. You each picked one correct one in the first round. You each got all three right in the second round. Like, neither of you has done any better than the other.
Wow.
So we'll just arguably.
Arguably.
So I'll just randomly say Scott will get the first answer on this one, and then Brian will be forced to do a higher or lower.
No! I don't care.
It doesn't matter. It's fair either way. I'm good.
Yeah.
On an average day, according to National Geographic in 2018, on an average day, how many ships pass through the Panama Canal?
Two.
I'm going to say, how many on average day?
How many on an average day pass through the Panama Canal?
It's a highly contested zone and area and all that, so it means there must be volume. So I'm going to say...
It's also very expensive to pass through the Panama Canal.
Yeah, one does not simply walk into the Panama Canal.
That's right.
I'm going to say...
Sped up footage of that stuff is pretty cool.
It is cool.
Like, somebody come in.
I'm going to say 100 because it's got to be at least... It's got to be at least that. So 100, okay. I say.
All right. 100 is incorrect. Brian, is the actual answer higher or lower than 100?
Well, I mean, if they're going to freaking have a whole article in the National Geographic, I hope it's more than 100 because otherwise, what the hell are you even writing for? Who cares if it's less than 100?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. The actual answer is lower than 100. It's only 48. 38 on average. 38.
What boring ass article is this?
On average, 38. Who gives a crap? Write something else.
And look, that's still impressive. So you want to just have all these digits, but the point is these giant barge-like ships, it takes a while to process them, man.
Oh, shut up.
Just a minute ago, Scott, you said, I know it has to be at least 100, so I'm going to say 100.
Yeah, I did say that, but that was, maybe I was tricking.
That was ignorant.
Well done. Yes.
Right.
It costs a ship the toll to go through the Panama Canal is $800,000. So,
Holy Moses.
The Panama people are just raking that money.
Yeah.
In. So, what do they have to do?
Is that what the Panama? So, wait a minute. So, $800,000 a year or per ship?
No. Per ship. When you go through, it's like paying the toll and you're.
Well, you should have told me that first. I would definitely went lower.
Why would you have thought that?
You would have. So wait a minute.
Idiot was going through. Let's go through the shortcut. All right.
So that means that this isn't even worth doing unless your cargo is worth, you know, get to be worth multiple millions to be worth
it.
Right.
Yeah, you're not gonna, sail your little boat through there, but I mean a shipping container that's got hundreds of containers on it that are being paid X amount to get those containers
I did not know that. Yeah, I'll bet the Panamanians are doing just fine. They're probably all right. That is what they're called, right? Not Pandamanians.
Panda.
I love what you keep calling Pandamanians.
The Pandamaniacs.
There's really some pandemonium going on there.
That
means
great,
that Scott is our winner, and by proxy, that means Sarah is our winner in Melbourne, Australia. Sarah, I'm going to be sending you a couple codes for Frick Inc., the game Frick Inc. and Pixross, which I'm assuming is a Picross style game. I love those. It's like a little puzzle game that you draw pictures based on.
Do you remember the Do you remember the Picross game on the DS?
The Mario, yes,
that
Mario
was
Picross.
So good. That game was so good.
It was really good. Yeah.
Why is that not available? I got to go find that. That game.
I'll bet you can. There's got to be a Switch version, right? Which is even better with the touch screen.
Is there? I don't even know. I feel like I haven't heard of not a Mario one anyway. Like that Mario one in particular was so much better than any Picross I'd played. And since
because it animates it, like after you got the picture done, it was all like Zelda and Link and Metroid and stuff like that.
Was it called Picross
Zelda
3D?
And Link?
Mario Picross, I think it was. Not C, but Picross.
I gotta go find it.
Yeah, just one C, right?
I may
just
have to.
Picross.
I will find the ROM and play it normally on a DS, everyone. That's what I'll do.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, that's great. Let's let Fletcher say it.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
People in Australia should win things. I'm super stoked about that.
I agree. Yeah. It's good to see some representation. We had Margot Robbie winning at the box office, and now Sarah wins here. So
that's right. And also, I got to say,
it blows my mind that she's Australian just because I only ever hear her accent in interviews. Mm-hmm. Like I can't think of a movie I've seen where she keeps her actual accent, right?
I'm trying to think of one. I can't. Margot Robbie you're talking about, right?
Margot Robbie. Yeah. What did I say?
Yeah. I was making sure when she says, when she was in, the one where she breaks Nancy Kerrigan's leg.
I, Tonya. Yeah.
She had this crazy East Coast accent thing.
Yes. Yeah.
She does a similar thing when she's, in the DC stuff when she plays what's her beak
Harley Quinn.
She really is like how often do you get somebody who's a really great actress who's like literally a great actress. She's very good at her job. She's also unbelievably attractive, and she does producing, she does writing, she does so much stuff. She's great. I think she's great. All right.
Yeah.
So take that, world.
You heard it here first. Scott likes Margot Robbie.
I like Margot Robbie.
Hot take.
Take.
No way. Really? She's so unlikable.
Let me just say this, too. Ryan Gosling is too ripped for 42, 43, whatever he is.
Jeez, kidding. Yeah.
It's grossly, he's agreed. Grossly
like
ripped.
How are you what's holding that prosthetic chest up?
he is a beast in this thing.
Yeah.
He must have worked out right before every scene. I don't know. Anyway, Dunaway, it's been a pleasure, and we'll do this again Wednesday. We'll pull you back in for a little Ted Pooley feud where we play with one of our listeners on the air. That's always fun, so if you want to be here live for that, people at home, please do. You might be able to be in the show and win some prizes live on the air. Dunaway, anything else you'd like to say to us before we go?
I can't believe Barbie did so much better than Oppenheimer opening weekend. I mean, but one's a three-hour epic, and the other one's like an hour and a half. Come on!
Yeah. I think if you're going to make summer a good time movie, you're going to win over serious, thought-provoking, complicated plot movie.
Yeah, who really won? Because when they did the Barbie-Oppenheimer thing, when they combined the two, I think Oppenheimer got a little bit of free press there. So I'm going to give the win to them.
Dude. Plus, there are more letters from Oppenheimer in Barbenheimer than there are from Barbie. So,
that's right. That's right. The meme is weighted heavily on the Oppenheimer side.
It's like Bennifer.
Glad for both, though.
Jennifer
glad
really for both. Wins in the Bennifer name. Yeah. name.
I agree. But it's also they also made a crap shit ton of money. $178 million or whatever. A lot. They did
really
good.
They both did well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all win, Brian. Kiss our butts.
All win.
All right. There he goes. Hey, you guys, we got time for no news. Instead, we're going to go straight to a little bit of Schleicherisms coming up here shortly. You know, Comic-Con's going on. There's a...
I bet there are announcements happening out there, huh? Yeah.
I guess it went on. But we also have some, because it's over now, but we have some bad news around Marvel.
Oh, always. It's just one bad news after another.
Feels like it, right? We're in a rebuilding phase, I think, a little bit. In a weird way.
I think so. Yeah. It's like...
That's one way of putting it, I guess. But anyway, we'll get to all that in a second. We're going to take a break right now when we come back, Steven. So stick around. Brian, play a song while we do that.
Yeah, so Tadpool listener Louis Loyo, jokingly took offense to my dislike of Kiss, or our dislike of Kiss. I'm doing a make good with for Louis, so I'm happy to do it. He got in touch with an indie band that he really likes, Patty Pershala and the Mayhaps. This is the single from their upcoming EP, which is called Perpetual Motion Machine. He went and got permission, like I ask people to do, from the band. Absolutely appreciate when folks do that. And even got me a copy of the song, which is even better. Here is the song Spill by Patty Pershala and the Mayhaps. This is great. If you like the Black Keys, for example, this is some Black Keys ass blues. You're going to love it.
Gaming on a Chromebook? Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Johnny came calling one Sunday. The girl of his dreams was so sweet. She served him some wonderful dishes. But he found the meal incomplete.
No soup?
Good day, Irene, good day. Goodbye, he sighed. To get the punch of soup for lunch,
I'll seek another bride.
That lousy, conniving, murderous crimson wizard is dead meat.
And we've returned. Tell me who that was again, please.
Will do. That was Patty Pershala and the Mayhaps from their upcoming EP, Perpetual Motion Machine, a brand new song called Spill.
Nice. That sounds all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't heard any in the middle I didn't like in months and months and months.
Well, I hope to continue that trend with this one.
It is an upward momentum trend. Something. I don't know what I'm saying.
I'll take it.
Major spoilers time. We're going to talk to Steven. We're not going to make any spoilers, all right? There are none.
No.
Not this week anyway, but we got stuff to talk about. Let's do it.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, he is. It's Steven Schleicher joining us from MajorSpoilers.com, my one and only place to find out the latest in comic books, pop culture, TV, movies, and more. And Steven's here with us today to talk about some of that stuff. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, man. It's nice to have you here as always. So normally, this is the time of year normally, Steven will come on and we'll have some big blowout discussion about some huge thing that happened at Comic-Con. But this year has been a little studio-less. Like, there's not a lot going on. It's mostly just like the convention itself. The cosplay is great as always.
Yeah.
People are happy to be back in full force, all that stuff.
A little lackluster.
Yeah, not a lot going on. Do you have any hot takes on that before we go to our main discussion here about DC and that?
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head there, Scott. It is very much a Comic-Con back to comics, although technically media has always been a bigger part of Comic-Con than people think. It's only been since about 2005 or whenever Twilight started to hit big that Comic-Con focused more, or San Diego Comic-Con focused more on movies and television properties. And so it was nice to get back and have stuff focusing on comic books for the most part. Most of the studios, in fact, basically all the studios pulled out because of the SAG-AFTRA and Writers Guild strikes, because part of that is the actors can't go and promote their material. So if you can't get big names on the stage to bring crowds in that will then spill across social media to talk about your product, why go?
Yeah, and that's a good point.
That's the take they all did.
So in your estimation, though, had the strike had not happened, landed when it did, we would have probably had more of the usual.
Oh, I mean, Dune 2, you got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, there's so much going on. Barbie definitely would have been there in force this weekend. The strike definitely played a role in the studios pulling out. That being said, though, last couple of years, COVID certainly shut down Comic-Con. But even before then, Warner Brothers was not showing up to the convention with their big Hall H presentations in favor of doing their own online version of their big presentations. Marvel has done something similar to that. Of course, Disney is doing its own D23. So there's a lot of incentive for the big studios to create their own event as opposed to fighting with everyone else at a convention that holds at most 150,000 people.
Yeah, good point. Something we found on FilmSack this weekend while we were just dorking around. If you go to, this is how much money, marketing money, Barbie threw at everything. If you go to Google and just search for Barbie and hop in there, even if you're in dark mode, you will now get an explosive pink screen with a bunch of sparkles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I assume that cost big money. I can't imagine it didn't, because Google doesn't do that shit for free.
Nope.
If you type Oppenheimer, you do not get it. You get nothing.
Your screen doesn't go black?
No. That'd be cool, though. or like a big mushroom cloud in the front of it.
Countdown. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crap. What's going to happen? Oh, no.
They probably had to tread a little lighter given their subject matter, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, so there's that. Then there's this other thing that is a little bit of a bummer. It's the Eisners. The Eisners come out every year. They're the big awards in the comics industry where all sorts of mainstream plus indie stuff gets recognized. I always look forward to them because it's always like a bunch of books I want to check out and read. Mm-hmm. And DC did really well.
They did.
Yeah, check out DC. They got they won for best short story, Finding Batman by Kevin Conroy and Jay Bone from their DC Pride 2022 issue. Mm-hmm. They won for best single issue, Batman One Bad Day or One Shot. That's Tom King and Mitch Gerards who did that. The best continuing series, DC won with Nightwing from Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo. They won for best limited series. I've talked about this series on the show before. The people need to check out The Human Target from Tom King and Greg Smallwood. James Tynan, who won Best Writer, but he has done work for DC Comics, The Nice House on the Lake, and the Sandman Universe, Nightmare Country. He's won with the work there. For Best Penciler or Inker, Greg Smallwood for The Human Target. Best Cover Artist, Bruno Redondo for Nightwing. And then we have Best Coloring, Jordi Belair, who has done coloring work for Nice House on the Lake, Suicide Squad Blaze, and has done some Marvel work. Of all of the companies that were represented, IDW, Dark Horse Comics, a bunch of Drawn and Quarterly, Abrams Comics Arts. The only one who won anything that had any representation with Marvel was Jordi Belair with Best Coloring.
That was it. That seems like not a great. I don't know what that means. What does it mean that the creative end of where all the primordial comic work comes from, comic books, right? Mm-hmm. Forget about MCU, forget about DCU, all that other stuff is just like down the road kinds of things. They're all comics first, then movies. It seems like something's being run differently, maybe? Or what's the deal? Because I know Jim Lee, as editor-in-chief, has really been a strong thing for DC, and everyone's very happy with him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what's going on over at Marvel. Is it just a different regime, a different...
Well, so if we look at what DC has, Finding Batman was a short in their DC Pride event. So all the publishers basically have a Pride-related title that they release, but could be Kevin Conroy's passing last year could have played a role in that. When we look at some of the other stuff, like the limited series, The Human Target, and Batman One Bad Day, those are things that are not part of the quote-unquote main DC storytelling. You know, right now, DC has Night Terrors, which is this horror event that's going on through most of their books all this month. Would have been better to do it in October, but whatever. So what you're seeing here is in all these categories where DC is the clear winner, you have them saying, hey, let's take a chance with this. Let's take a chance with our Black Label title, or let's take a chance with this limited series with these writers, Tom King, who are very well known and liked in the community, and let's see what they can bring us. Let's try something different. If we look over at what Marvel is doing, just last month, they killed Ms. Marvel, and she's going to be back this week from the dead as a member of the X-Men team. Right. So not even dead 2 months. we have the death of Moon Knight happening, I think, in October. Must be in October where the death of Moon Knight is happening. So we've got that happening. Marvel is about to launch in October a big company-wide crossover event called Gang War, which is going to bring in a lot of the ground level heroes, Daredevil, Iron Man, Power Fist, all those characters, which are great. But these gimmicks of let's kill a character off every quarter, let's do these big massive crossover events, that's stuff that they did 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that is such a shallow well of creativity to say, all right, here's what we'll do. We'll kill the character and then we'll bring him back. You know, it was exciting the first time they did it. And when they killed Superman, it was great. And when they, you know, Spider-Man died, but was really in Doc Ock's head and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Great. But yeah, you can't just dip into that well. And I don't know what are the things they could come up with to do, but it's gotta be, you know, maybe stay away from the giant multiverse well and say, oh, we're going to have a giant crossover where the X-Men face hundreds of different versions of themselves, a la Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. They just need to come up with something.
They've dipped into the Spider-Verse over at the publishing side so many times.
They totally have, yeah.
And the fact that the multiverse has become part of all things Marvel, whether it's comic books or TV shows or the movies, it's almost kind of draining. It's almost kind of like, okay, what else you got? I like chocolate ice cream, but maybe I want to try pistachio.
Sure.
Are we looking at another, like Marvel is going to have to do a Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of thing and say, all right, we're kind of eliminating 90% of the new universes we've created around.
Funny you mentioned that, Brian. You may remember a big thing that happened in the 2000s where Marvel launched, Ultimate Universe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where we got really great retakes on Spider-Man from Brian Michael Bendis, of course, that introduced Miles Morales. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that universe was killed about, I want to say, 10 years ago. Guess what's coming back?
Oh, the one that you just said got killed.
The Ultimates Universe.
The Ultimates Universe. There's a big event that's coming up. I forget if it's August or September, but the Ultimate Universe is still quote unquote around, even though they thought it was gone. And now they want to be part of the Marvel Universe. Miles Morales crossed over from the Ultimate Universe to the main 616. And so now he's going to be back. You know, all these other characters may be back. So, yeah, I don't, you know, Marvel's doing fine. They have, they make lots of money. One of the things that Marvel does, if you look at the solicitations, we did the Marvel ones last week. The DC ones went up on the site just a few minutes ago. But even if you pick up a previews catalog and you just flip through it, you'll notice that Marvel pushes out so many books. Mm-hmm. And DC has started to cut back on the number of titles that they're offering month after month, where it used to be Marvel would have like 120 titles and DC would have 100. And now DC is like, yeah, we're okay with 40 titles a month. And I don't know if that's the accurate, but it's, you know, a fraction of what Marvel is doing.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the nice things is when you, obviously, if you're pulling back the number of titles, you're not making as much money potentially, or you could focus on the titles that you have and you could make them much better. Batman One Bad Day, the whole One Bad Day line, the Riddler one is the one that won, but the Catwoman one, the Scarecrow one, these are all really good stuff. So if people are looking for a bunch of really good Batman one shots, the One Bad Day stuff, how did these criminals become the criminals? You know, they spent time and focusing on that. So maybe Marvel could do that. That could be one thing where they're just like, hey, who are the best and the brightest? Let's bring them in. Greg Capullo was announced coming back to Marvel Comics to do some art beginning in October. So that may be something for fans of Greg Capullo to look forward to. But let's bring some people back in. Rob Liefeld is doing two projects over at Marvel. Love him or hate him. He's doing two new projects over at Marvel. We'll see how many issues those go.
Is he drawing or just writing, or do we know?
He did the art on the teaser images. I don't know. They didn't make any other announcement except that Rob Liefeld is going to be doing two new projects, I think in December or in January.
Nice. So weird chests and funky feet. I'm excited. Let's get in there.
Yeah. So maybe reduce the number of titles and maybe just make the titles that you have the best that you can possibly make it. Now, granted, the best is subjective, and some people may like the Champions, and some people may like Ms. Marvel the way she was before they turn her into an X-Man. So that's all very subjective, but I think instead of focusing on quantity, quality might be what Marvel Comics could be focusing on. And the same thing could be said for their media side on the movies and TV side as well.
The one advantage DC has is they have the two Toms. They have Tom Taylor and they have Tom King doing pretty exclusively DC work, although they do some independents and stuff, but they're not.
They're not exclusive. One of the nice things, so people are like, what does it mean when you're exclusive at a publisher? Well, the main thing is you're getting a monthly paycheck and you're getting insurance.
You're right. Yeah, that's the main thing. You're not like an independent contractor, basically. But the two Toms are killing it. Like they are, their work is probably the best in the larger, you know, in the mainstream industry of comics right now. And when you have them over there just killing it issue after issue, I just think that's hard to compete with. Like you just don't have anybody right now that's doing that over at Marvel. And there are plenty of voices or names and people doing great work. It's not that. It's just that I don't know how you tie the two Toms down. Those guys are crazy good.
Yeah. And if people want to look for some other great writers, obviously James Tynan the IV, I mentioned, has got the best writer of the year. But look at Cullen Bunn. He does some great horror stuff. Sixth Gun is probably one of his best known works, although he's done a bunch of other stuff. They're about to relaunch the Sixth Gun very soon. They're doing a Kickstarter right now where they're collecting all of the Sixth Gun run into a series of omnibi or omnibuses. Then we're going to get a new Sixth Gun series coming up in 2024. So that's from Oni Press. So be on the lookout for that. But he's a great one too. But you know, he's not doing anything over at Marvel Comics right now, to my knowledge.
If you all have not read The Sixth Gun, I implore you to read it. It's so good. So good. And he's done a lot of other stuff people like. Uncanny X-Men, like you mentioned. X-Men Blue Magneto, which is like a Pokemon almost.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, you gotta catch all those Blue Magnetos. All right, well, there's that. If you want to read the entire listing of who won and who was up against everybody, you can read all that at majorspoilers.com. Steven, is there anything else going on the site that you want to tell people about?
I think if you're just wanting to kind of know what the publishers are doing, then definitely check out the solicitations each week or each month when we post them. We've got most of the big publishers up there right now, although there's some smaller publishers that we get some information about what they have in coming months. That'll give you an idea of where the publishers are going and what they're thinking. Yep. But if you're looking for great reviews and commentary on comic books in the comic book world, definitely check out majorspoilers.com. And if you're looking for some really cool comic book related podcasts, we've got them too. The Major Spoilers podcast is great. This week we have Rand Bellavia of Ookla the Mock fame. He's back again. We're going to be talking about The Champions Volume 1. That's a Ms. Marvel comic. For those of you who are like, oh, they killed Ms. Marvel, she's she's back this week. Don't worry. But yeah, we'll be talking about The Champions this week on the Major Spoilers podcast. And I know it's like late July and everyone thinks that now is the time that the temperatures are going to cool off. But man, we're going to be up in the upper 90s after having a whole summer of no 90 degree weather. Jeez. We're in the upper 90s this week. And so you can bet that I'm going to stay hydrated, and I hope everyone else stays hydrated.
We're going to try, man. Thanks. It's something I noticed about that weather. Everyone's like, oh, it's 85 to 90. I don't know how I can take it. I'm like, man, it's 103 here every day.
Yeah, we had 102, 103 yesterday.
Yeah, it's so hot right now in the mountain, Intermountain West, freaking Kansas. You guys are fine. All right. One thing I was going to say, what was it? It was something to tell you because I knew you'd be interested, and then I forgot about it. And
I don't know.
I know what it is. PSA, a little programming PSA for people to know kind of moving forward. We've done a little bit of a change up on how we schedule things to try to maximize our schedule. Some days we're overloaded with guests and other days we're not. So we've redistributed power a little bit throughout the network. And so here's what you can expect. Every other Monday, although next Monday we're not here, so still the next person will be Bobby. But every other Monday you get Steven, and the other Monday you get Bobby. Bobby's moving from Tuesdays to Mondays.
Steven's lots more time for Bobby to talk science with
us. Yeah, big time. He gets the whole episode to himself, basically. And so does Steven when he's on. So both those guys will be sharing Mondays, and we'll be doing those every other. On Tuesdays, Tuesdays is the biggest shakeup, where we've just really moved everything around. Starting tomorrow, Dan, the tabletop man, will be here for his monthly appearance. Bill will be on next after that. Amy after that. Travis after that. We're going to do that Travis thing once a month, so that's even a new thing. But Amy's moving from Thursdays. Dan from obscurity to regularity. And we're going to give Bill a little more wide berth to you know, build up his topics and stuff. It'll help Amy, too. I mean, how hard is it, or how easy is it to have a book
every
damn week?
She can't read a new book every week. And what if that book isn't good? You know, she's like, well, what do? I've spent all this time reading this book, and it's not very good. How do I talk about it?
Exactly. So we got a rotating list there, and we give everybody basically to get their own episode to be a guest instead of this, like, slapdash, everybody get on here and get out of here kind of thing. Wednesdays we're keeping Tom and Recommendals where they're at, and on Thursdays Wendy is back to owning Thursdays. She owns it, and she needs it, because that's, we need that room on Thursdays and not rushing everybody else.
That always felt so rushed, because we'd have our Thursday chat, then we'd bring in Amy and be like, oh my god, it's almost 10 o'clock, we've got to Amy's just finished talking about Clay, and now we have to get a book.
Yeah, and I don't want to kick her out. I hate it. I hate that feeling of like, oh, hurry up, Amy, you know, because I don't want her to hurry up. I want to spend time with her. So that's what we're going to do. So that's the plan moving forward. It's all pretty simple and straightforward, but we look forward to Bobby's science segment on Mondays coming up soon. Dan tomorrow will be great, plus everybody else. It's all good in the hood. Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, a follow-up from Jeff Sire in Canada, who says this. just to comment on what Wendy said today, this is last Thursday, on how equality can feel like oppression. I can't remember where I read this, but I thought it was the perfect description. If you have been leading a race your whole life by a couple of laps, just seeing somebody in the distance over your shoulder can be panic-inducing, says Jeff. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great way to illustrate that.
It's very, very, what's the word? It's very astute.
Astute. Yes, I like that. We haven't used the word astute in about 100 years. Let's do it. Let's get it out there.
Haven't used it in a while, so no. I'm using it now.
That's an astute observation that he made. Jeff Sire, everybody. Watch him as he goes. Next, we have this, a note, a text we got about the Shire.
Right, which ironically is in response to Jeff's message about Mayor.
Oh, right. I forgot he was the one. Yeah, that was not on purpose, but it's all tied together. He says, "Hey, Sam and Bilbo, the Shire city, or is the Shire a city? The Shire is a region. Hobbiton is the village within the region."
Very good. Very good.
That makes sense,
so
right?
He's the mayor of Hobbiton.
That's right. Here in the region of Shire, or the Shire.
That's right.
Nicely done. Thank you for the clarification. We will never have to bring up that Shire bullshit again, ever. We're done.
I know. Please, let's not.
So you can be like Jeff, send us an email, morningstream@gmail.com, or you can be like this anonymous person and send us a text, 801-471-0462, anytime you like. We're going to get out of here. Before we do, I want to mention that Patreon is a thing, and it's a thing that supports the show and makes it run. So hop on over today and sign up today. Get all that cool art in the mail, them couch parties, them monthly benefits, the pre-show content every day, the ad-free experience. All of it can be yours right now simply by signing up at patreon.com/TMS. Brian, that's going to do it for us. Do you have anything else before we go?
I don't. I'm in the throes of listening to 311 right now for Soundography, and I'm getting to what I consider to be the albums that I really, really dig for them, starting with Evolver. I like Sound System. I like... bits and pieces from their earlier albums, but Evolver is where I feel like this is where I'm really into 311.
I'm curious when you get to their latest two albums, which are fairly recent, how you'll feel.
Yeah,
because
there's one
them.
That's a regular album and one that's instrumental versions of the songs.
Oh, right,
album.
Same album, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Except with instrumental. Yeah, that one with the words, the one that they just put out normal, is some of my favorite of they've ever done. I love it. So
cool.
I'm curious what you'll think when you get to it. So. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, and if you're jonesing for a brand new Soundography episode, I'm posting one today focusing on the Bangles. You might think it's a Susanna Hoffs band. And if you only look at their greatest hits, you'd be right. But if you look at their deeper cuts, it's a Michael Steele band, man. Michael Steele, the vocalist for a lot of Bangles music that I think is as good and in some cases better than what got thrown out as singles.
Oh,
and
wow.
She gave another genuinely unique voice to a band that already had a very unique voice in Susanna Hoffs. So the Bangles getting posted here later today.
Nice. I like the Bangles too. Big fan.
Yeah.
Well, great. Let's do a song. Speaking of music, let's do a song. Let's get one out. What do we got?
Okay. How about this one right here? Michael Hennessy, who goes by the name Nighttime in Discord and the streams and stuff, said, "Hey, Sour Mash and Barley, on this day, 10 years ago, my beautiful wife actually tied herself to me in matrimony. 10 years later, I'm still shocked that she hasn't come to her senses. She supports me in my hatred of stupid, all while teaching young minds while going to school for her own master's at the same time. Here's to 10 more years. Hell no to the snow, though. She grew up in the desert and hates all things snow. Thanks, Michael."
Fair enough.
Very good. He wanted either a cover of May It Be by Enya or In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. I'm going with the latter of the two because I have 80-something covers of In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel, and that's, by golly, what you're going to hear. This is a newer one, though. This came out a couple of years ago, and it was a single released by a band that you maybe haven't thought of since the 90s when they put out a single called Good. They are better than Good. They're better than Ezra. And this was a single, their version of In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel that came out in 2020. Here is Better Than Ezra.
All right, here we go. Real quick, I didn't know this, but Susanna Hoffs, who I think still looks incredible,
She does, yeah.
Is 64 years old, and I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand her genes. Yeah. What the heck? She doesn't even look like she's had work done. She's just beautiful from the day she was born. She'll die beautiful. She's just a... I don't get it. Other humans don't look like this. I don't get it.
We don't stand a chance.
No, we don't. We're already screwed. So anyway,
yeah.
Live long, Susanna Hoffs. All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Frogpants.com.
I'm Rick Perry, and I approve this message.
Remember Rick.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.